you know what time it is. It is Wednesday, which means it is time for week-long PGA DFS, a.k.a. Kicking the Nuts. And we might have a weather edge, and we might have carnage 2 weeks in a row, and we have all the studs playing, and there's great contests. The big guy's fucking pumped. It's Wednesday. You know I'm going to give you everything you need to know, and damn do we have a lot to cover, okay? With all that said, when the banjos play, it's time to get serious. And let's get going. What's up, new guy? My name's James, better known as the Degenerate 75, a DFS content creator who is here to help you get a little bit better at PGA DFS. I'm going to tell you a little secret not a lot of people want you to know. DFS is hard as shit, okay? And if you're not playing the game, you're not going to get there. All those people are just giving you their picks and plays, fuck them. They're terrible. They're not going to get you there. You're going to have to learn your own process. That is what we're going to be focusing on here. If you find you like the cut of my jib, you know, maybe hit the like button, you know, maybe subscribe, maybe tell a friend. But most of all, check out that schedule right there, you mother father. I do this show every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. That's in the Lord's time zone every Wednesday. Set your clock by it, okay? Also, I do a little show called the Showdown Hoedown because Showdown is not a kick in the nuts like Weeklong is, and you should check it out. I do it directly after television coverage for round two and round three ends for round three and round four. And of course, I do a preview show with Tambo every Monday right when prices drop, usually around noon here in the Lord's time zone. Encourage you to check that out. It's a good time. Let's get going. Lots to cover. I know I got a lot of new guys. Football season's winding down. New guys, you're like, why in the hell is this guy in my YouTube feed? Why the hell am I watching him? First of all, quit talking like that. Second of all, just know I've got you, okay? 9 years ago, there is not a chance that you knew less about PGA now than I knew then. I promise you. I didn't know a fucking thing about it, Bob. So here's what I can tell you. I have this whole video walking you through the most basics. I want to get new people into PGA DFS. I want you, new guy. I want to teach you how fun PGA DFS is and why it is the best sweat of all the DFS sports out there. You set it and you forget it. You don't got to sit there like a fucking loser neckbeard all night at your computer checking shit, okay? I do that for you. Matter of fact, I bet the editor will probably even put it over here in the chat. And if not, it will definitely be in the link to this video, okay? Make sure you hit the like, and know that for all of you that are liking and retweeting over on Twitter, I'm giving away $100 singular trade night that we will build together, and I will split the profits with you 50-50. Already got it reserved. My dude, D-Nasty, what up, D-Nasty, is sponsoring once again. He just keeps hitting big contests, so he says, all right, if I'm going to hit him, I'll just keep sponsoring giveaways. Look, here's the rule, guys. When you guys hit an awesome lineup, so frequently people are like, I want to give you money. Bro, don't give me shit. You won the lineup. I didn't do anything, okay? I'm just here to entertain you and help you form your own process. If I would have won the money, I would have won the money. It's your money. You keep it. If you want to sponsor a giveaway, that is the one thing I will negotiate on, but I don't take tips. I won't take your money. You spend it. You earned it. Congratulations. D-Nasty, thank you for supporting this. We will be giving that away at the end. If I give it away now, all the slapdicks will leave, okay? Also, you need to know, the big guy has a big problem saying the fuck word. Look, I've already said it, what, 3 or 4 times now. Not great. Not a great start for a guy who is repenting from saying the F word. And at the end, I'm going to draw one of your names from the chat over here. Make sure you ask up to 2 questions. More than 2, I will boot your ass in the next millennium, okay? And if you get to play me heads up, you get all the money in that till. Last week's, I played MoFly. MoFly 920. What do you think, Teddy?
Pay that man his money.
I think so, Teddy. I believe I am now 0-4 in these damn contests. Last year I ran at like 70%, and it's not working this year. I'm 0-4. MoFly, I will PayPal you the money. We can build a lineup together. Whatever you want to do. You beat me fair and square. Look, that is what I get for playing a loser piece of shit like Kalamora Flower. I did it to nobody but myself. Nobody but myself, right? And Mitchell, right? I picked the wrong damn visor. Oh, wait, I have both visors. My bad. Oompa Loompa Ryan, fuck. I'm tilted as balls. Fuck you. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's it. I'm done for a little bit. For a little bit. All right, new guys, simple question to get the show rolling. We always begin with the same question, and you better know the answer or you're going to get my tits tilted. You don't want these tits tilted. Have you made your lineup shut? You have. Everybody always has.
I watched the show this morning, and they were talking about weather, so I thought I needed to go do it.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You honestly shouldn't even probably make your lineup till tomorrow morning, if I'm being honest with you, because the latest weather projections are going to be super important this week. And anybody who's poo-pooing weather, poo-poo them, okay, because they're slapdicks. The first thing we're going to start with contest selection. This is where you're giving away. And I'm just going to go on a little 30-second rant here, okay? I am done shitting on DraftKings, all right? They're putting out really good content. contest, right? Should they have should the $5 have been bigger this week? Yes. The main $5, the drive to the green, has already filled, and I believe the secondary is almost full too, right? It's over halfway full. So they're still underselling it, but they are giving us great contest. They are flattening out the payout structure. They are making this more competitive. And more than anything, they seem to be the only ones driving, making good PGA DFS content. FanDuel just punted on that shit and said, nope, we're done with that. We don't do that. Okay, thanks, FanDuel. Fuck off. So, I'm done. Oh, and DraftKings, you know, like, if you do it right and you have a good process, you play it long enough, you can be sustainable. You can overcome the rake and you can hit a big one. And last time I checked, I have a PS5 coming in the mail. I'm done shitting on DraftKings. And they got me free tickets into the Waste Management next week, which I'll be at. I'm done shitting on DraftKings. Do they shit that drives me nuts? Yes. But it's like that lady that you love. She does shit that drives you nuts too, but you're not fucking leaving her because you love her. And I think that's where I'm at with DraftKings, okay? It's better than anybody else out there. I'm going to be happy I got what I got. You mother fathers. Okay. Looking at the contest here. Pretty damn good, Bob. Pretty good. I will warn you, some of these are filling up. The $200 single entry is almost full. Some other ones are going to be filling up. The four max 250 is going to be filling very soon. Oh my God, the $100 single entry going to be filling soon. Like probably in the next 5 minutes. There's just no matter what level you're playing at this week. Remember, I can't show contests below $5 on here because I guess I passed the $1 million threshold or whatever, so it doesn't let me show those anymore. But there's still going to be your $3.20 max and stuff like that. Just great contests, other than the fact that I think there's too many people in them. But you know, people want to chase those big prizes. I get it, right? So, great contest to play in. You know I love my baby, the $10 18 max, which will probably be filling, I would say, in the next hour. So I would get in there and get those reserved now. Just a nutted payout structure, as always, in that. Remember, you want to follow three big rules. Actually, four big rules when it comes to selecting your contest. One, try staying away from the lotteries. The big old contest where most of the money goes to the top three spots. Okay? That's rule number one. Try to get in smaller contests. Really, try it. Less than 1,000 entrants, and you will have such a better time with PGA DFS because you don't have to hit the stone cold nuts to win those tournaments, right? And don't act like your ass ain't going to be dancing naked in the streets if you win a $500 GPP on $5. You'll be out there. We'll have to call the police on you. It's just part of the process, okay? But rule number two, make sure, try to get in contests where no more than 20% of all of the prize pool goes to first place. Preferably, we want that number at 10%. And then, number two, we want second place to be at least half as much as first, right? When you go look at the main lottery this week, first place is $200,000. Second place, only $75,000. That ain't half of $200,000 in case you're not good at math. And then lastly, we want 10th place to be 1/10 of first, right? As you can see, in the big lottery, it's 1/100th. Disgusting, right? You finish 10th in this, you're going to feel like you lost. That's why I don't play in those. Trust me, I can afford to play in them. I don't play in them, Bob, because they suck. And I believe in grinding a profit with my process over the long term. Those are what you need to know when you're selecting contests. And every once in a while, go back and look and see what contests are you having success in. Is it the $5 150 max, or is it the $100 single entry? Is it the $10 18 max, or is it the 254 max? Whatever it is that you're finding success in, stick to the contest that you're in, right? That you're good at and you're finding success. You don't have to play in a contest just because it has a good structure. You need to play in contests that help you get to the results that you want, okay? Furthermore, as I continue to shit on the lotteries, I'm just going to update this every week, and I'm just going to show you the math. We are tracking the $20 and the $5 main entry contest every week and the main Sunday showdown, the round four showdown. And as you can see here, we are now 4 weeks into this. We've tracked four tournaments here, and you can see that in the cumulative total, the only people that are up in the $20 are people who have entered 2 to 5 entries and the 150 max. And I guarantee you that 2 to 5 entries is just because a couple asshats luck sacked and won the GPPs. Okay, so who is the only ones that are going to consistently win in these big lotteries? It's going to be the 150 maxers, right? Yes, only 12% of them are winning, so 87% or 88% of the time they're losing, but when they win, they win. And that is how 150 maxers play. They take loss after loss after loss, but then their win is so big they can offset it all. You're not going to be able to do that. You don't have the upside. This is why I'm a big proponent of try to max enter all the contests you play. Go look at the $5 main. What is the only group so far this year that is up in totality? It is the 150 maxers, right? Okay, they just have leverage. First of all, people that are 150 lineups typically know what they're doing. I know a couple fucking idiots that don't, but most of them know what they're doing. And second of all, they just have leverage on you because they're getting more lineups in. Sunday Showdown, what is the only group who is profitable so far out of all the groups? the 150 maxers, if you take how much money they've entered versus how much they've won, they're the only one with a positive ROI, okay? And even with that, that still means 87% of those 150 maxers are losing, but the ones that are winning enough to offset the entire group because those GPPs are so crazy stacked to the high end, okay? This is why I have slowly gotten away from lotteries. Now, I will tell you, I am maxing out both $5 lotteries this week, and it's very simple why. Very, very simple why. The payout structure is good. They fixed the payout structure, and I want to cast a vote to support those contests, so I'm playing in it. And you can tell by how fast the $5 fills versus the $20 that the majority of people are starting to realize the value in being in these well-structured contests, and that is what the $5 has to offer, right? So there you go. That is the data. I'm going to keep showing it to you. No bias here. Just trying to show you the brutal math of playing in lotteries every week. All right. You want to sit on the shitter, right before the round starts and make your one lineup and, you know, have a dream of winning $200,000. Okay. It's your life. Do whatever you want. But if you are trying to be a long-term sustainable player, I am trying to empirically show you that you are being a dipshit. That is what I'm trying to do, Bob. If that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to get you to quit stepping on your own dick. All right. Hey, 371 people in here, only 168 likes, over 200 ass clowns. Very rare to have over 200 ass clowns in here at once. But the one contest you should definitely get in is mine. Look, it's not even halfway full. 384 people out of 800, unacceptable. Editor, put it over here in the chat. Get in there, fill it up, flat payout structure, reduce rake, build my community. Get in there. Let's do it. There we go. Chris gets it. Call them clowns. All right. And a quick shout out to last week's winner, DGCB28, what up, dog? What up, dog? I don't see a single flag flying in the top five, which almost makes me kind of happy because it's growing. It's alive, right? The contest is growing. I love to see it. We keep bumping it up 100 every week. We get it up to, we might go to 900 or 1,000 next week. We'll have to see. So keep filling it. I appreciate it. Editor, put it right there in the chat. You have no excuse not to do it unless you're a donkey dick. New guy, second question. Are you ready? Here we go. What is the first thing we always check at PGA DFS? The most important thing in PGA DFS, no matter what some fucking idiot says on his podcast today. That's right. That is right. It is weather. Very good. You can't predict the weather. You're right. Two times over the past 2 years, I have been wrong about the weather. And every other time, it has either been neutral or correct. Okay? So, like, this whole, you know, you can't predict the weather. That's like saying you can't predict ownership. Yeah, you kind of fucking can, dude. Yes, you kind of can. All right? Am I a poor that uses WindFinder? Maybe if I was a poor that used WindFinder, I would think that you couldn't predict the weather. Okay? Maybe that would be a thing. But I'm not a poor. I am filthy, filthy, not poor. And as you can see, I can afford the $18.99 a year to give you the best weather projections out there. And I have a weather guy who gets like the fancy Navy projections. And then we also kind of work on it. But that's behind the paywall, bro. I ain't giving you that shit for free. You're getting the $18.99. Okay, this is YouTube, pal. All right. Here's what I'm seeing, right? You can see right here, it's raining. It's going to rain all night. Matter of fact, I'm almost certain that if this projection here, they get that much rain over the next, what is that, 14 hours? You're almost certainly going to see delays tomorrow. The first groups go off around 9:30. Good luck getting that much rain off the course in 2.5 hours. All right. So I think you're going to see a delay of play tomorrow. But with them being on two courses and there only being 40 players, they can easily still get their rounds in 6 hours. Sunset's not till damn near 6 o'clock. So as long as they're off by noon, I do suspect they will get the round in tomorrow. I just think it's going to be delayed on the start. That would be my guess looking at this current forecast. All right. So everybody that's talking about this tournament might be cut short, we might lose a round, or it may have a Monday finish. That is true. That is a very real concern. But that's because of this crazy ass Sunday forecast over here, which is just absolutely bonkers, right? And Monday doesn't look a lot better either, okay? But we're not there yet. We're not there. When we're talking about a wave edge, or this week, the very rare course edge, hold on, I just blew spit on my camera. We need to be looking at Thursday and Friday, right? Because if you don't know, they're on two courses the first 2 days. They're going to play Spyglass, and they're going to play Pebble Beach. And then on the opposite day, they're going to switch over. So you're going to play each of the two courses the first 2 days. So trying to get your guy on the right course on the right day is really important. And here's what I'm seeing. On Thursday, tomorrow, we're going to be using H. And when you use H, you can see it looks like it's going to be pretty steady windy tomorrow, right? Probably 12 to 15 miles an hour throughout the day, come and go, right? And it's going to be very, very soft because of all that rain. It'll definitely be lift clean in place tomorrow. That I guarantee you. And if it's that way tomorrow, it will be that way the other day because you got to give the same conditions to both sets of players on both courses, right? So with lift clean in place and a soft course, you probably think this course is going to play relatively easy. But once again, what have I told you about that magical 60-degree threshold? Scoring goes up at 60 degrees. In the first 2 days, it will not for 1 second be over 60 degrees. It is going to be in the low to mid 50s, and it is going to be steady wind. So right there. And then you factor in wet, which wet can be good, but it can also be bad when it's mixed with wind and cold, right? So with that, I think that you need to be aware that scoring is going to be down this week, and it should kind of change the kind of guys you want to play. Weather isn't just always about, I want to play this guy because he's at this course. Sometimes you can say, look at that weather. It's going to make the course tougher. I want to play these kind of guys when conditions get tougher, okay? If you don't have those kind of guys, that's fine. I have guys that I go to when I think of shitty conditions. I'm like, give me the Euros, right? So my prediction is it's going to be a little windy Thursday. And we'll switch over to NAM for Friday. And you can see Friday, it looks like there's going to be some rain in the morning. So once again, I do anticipate probably a delay Friday also. But notice, it does appear to be quite a bit less windy on Friday. And if I know anything about these courses, Pebble Beach, that's right here on the coast, right? And it is much more affected by the wind than Spyglass, which you can see is more inland and has a lot more trees protecting it as it is a parkland-style course, okay? So with that, I want my guys on Pebble Beach on the less windy day. So this is where we're playing with fire. If you trust the projections, it would appear as though Pebble Beach is going to be less windy on Friday than it is on Thursday, right? But with a chance of these big storms, maybe the round gets delayed for 6 hours tomorrow. They don't get the round done. And a lot of those guys get to finish their round on Friday in the nicer conditions. These are things that have to be considered, right? So my biggest thing I could tell you this week is two things. One, when you are trying to predict your weather edge, make sure you are accounting for things like delays, right? Back in 2022 with the Players, it fucked everybody when everybody was trying to guess which side of the wave to be on. And they failed to realize that sometimes when there's a massive amount of rain or lightning, it will cause delays. And then everything gets screwed up and all your projections are wrong, right? The other thing I would tell you is very, very rarely do we ever get a chance to correlate at PGA DFS. In NFL, you correlate. You play your quarterback and your wide receiver together. In the NBA, you play the point guard and the center together because he throws him oops and shit. At PGA, we rarely ever get a chance to be correlated. And this is what I want to implore you to consider. If you build your player pool and say you have a 20-guy player pool and you find 10 of them are the Spyglass and then Pebble, and then the other 10 are Pebble and then Spyglass, maybe just make two completely different player pools, okay? Put all your Pebble guys first together and all your Spyglass guys together, and then build, because if one of those two groups ends up getting better, they will have a strong correlation to the success that they're going to have as they got to play in the same conditions, right? So I would highly encourage you to do that. Can I guarantee you there's going to be that Pebble Beach first is going to be an edge, or that Spyglass first is going to be an edge? I certainly can't. But I will tell you this. I feel like one wave is going to get an edge of more than a half a shot. I wish I could tell you with certainty who it's going to be, but I can't. So I would tell you that you might want to consider 4-2, 5-1s, and 6-0s towards certain courses and really correlate them. So if there is that weather edge, you can reap the benefits of it. If you made me pick, well, I won't. Okay, I'll do that over on my site tonight when I get the updated weather. But that is weather. That is how it's playing out. That is what you need to know. I think that this is going to be a very tough week. That is my prediction, okay? Let's get over here. For all of you, let's move over to ownership. Oh, 430 people in here? Already the number one stream in PGA DFS. You'll love to see it. Hold on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Guy riding a horse. Appreciate you. All right. As we track pivots around here, I'm very honest with who the chalk is. Last week, we had Mora Flowa, Keegan Bradley, Luke Deman-Listeman, and Michael Kim ended up being our chalk donkeys. We try to run 8 different pivots against them. Sometimes where they're priced, we can't quite do that. And you can see last week, chalk didn't do so good, did it? How'd Keegan treat all you donkey dicks? Luke List, I got to play Luke List. Gotta play Luke List. Can he hit the ball off tee? Well, you're forgetting the whole middle ground where Luke List is $7,800 and he fucking sucks. You forgot that part, didn't you? So you can see that the pivots outperform Morikawa. They outperform Bradley. They outperform List. And Michael Kim, even though he kind of fell apart on the weekend, or in round 3 and round 4, I should say, still outperformed most of his pivots. You want to know how it's doing for the year? Pivots are 50-50 at the top end on the 10K plus. They're actually outperforming the 8K. So on the 8K chalk so far has been the worst. 7K chalk, it's about 60-40, but you can see the disparity in the ownership there. And you can still see the 9Ks are still absolutely murdering there pivots, right? So 9K chalk so far this year has definitely been the chalk to eat, as it is definitely outperforming its pivots the most. I think this is important to know, because if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. The lower they get in salary, the more disgusting chalk is, right? Luke List chalk was so much grosser last week than Colin Morikawa. I said those exact words. In hindsight, they both sucked, but the Luke List chalk, unacceptable, Bob. Unacceptable. Hope you enjoy going down on the Luke List train. All right, let's get to the 10 highest owned guys, even though there's only 8, so that's weird. And there's one honorable mention. This is called the Chalk Report, where I'm going to go over the highest owned players, and I'm going to tell you if they're donkey chalk, which means you're a donkey dick if you play them, eh chalk, which means they're getting a little high, I don't love it, but don't get off of them if you love them. And then there's okay chalk, which is just simply chalk that I don't even think is chalk, but this industry misuses the term all the time and needs one bitch slapping, okay? One bitch slapping, that's what they need. So, here we go. The Degenerate 75s. Oh, by the way, I have very good ownership. No one just, like, you know, some people have their, you know, whatever they're into. Me, I just sit around, ownership. We all have our kinks. No kink shaming here at Degenerate 75, okay? First up, Maximum Homa. My dude coming in at 9,200. Look, his ownership is simple. He's underpriced. Max Homa in this field should be every bit of $9,800. Max Homa has played well at this course. Max Homa is from the West Coast. Max Homa is in good form. He didn't make a single putt last week, and Max Homa actually is a good putter. Not the best POA putter, but a good putter in general. So, most of his ownership is coming from the fact that he is just simply underpriced. But here on this show, we don't give a shit. Max Homa, you are the highest owned guy, and you are literally 2-3x the guys around you. You, sir, are the definition of
the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
Except when we do. Except when we do, and when it's Max Homa, at least we consider it, okay? Max Homa's just a little too chalky. That, sir, is donkey chalk, right? Getting over to Scottie Scheffler, we're going to go over guys that I think are going to move up and move down. But Scottie Scheffler at 21%, I think if you want to play Scottie, you should be pretty damn happy. I don't think that ownership is out of control for who I think is undeniably the best player in this field. But anytime you're over 20%, I can never give you a K-chalk. So I'm going to kind of bitch edge here. I'm going to give Scottie all. I don't love it. I don't love it. It's a little high, but like anytime you can get Scottie at or around 20%, I think you should be like out in the streets dancing naked, right? Calling the cops on your ass again. Next up, old Xander Schauffele. What do we know about Xander? Well, we got him at 21%, and a lot of that is simply just because the guy right above him, or right below him, is Cantlay, right? And the guy right above him is Hovland, two guys that people also want to play. I think Xander at $10,000 ownership could have got out of control if he wasn't sandwiched between two guys that people really want to play. And so with that, I think Xander, once again, I can't quite call him donkey chalk because he's only at 20%, which mostly is just connected to his salary. So I'm going to bitch hedge again. I'm just going to give him, I don't love it. I don't love it. It's a little high, but I ain't getting off Xander if I like Xander. Next up, old Jordan Spieth's, right? Coming in at a cool 20%. People just love Jordan Spieth. Did you see that tweet, though? He said he's feeling, like, really good, and he's at his favorite course. Okay. All right. Well, now you got to go play Jordan Spieth, right? Or you don't. You got to remember, Jordan Spieth normally only plays this course when there's nobody here. This year, all the good players are here. So it's not going to be Jordan Spieth versus all the slapdicks. It's going to be Jordan Spieth versus all the studs. So with that, I went back and forth on this one. He is really toeing the line very hard of being donkey chalk, but because I think that he might come in a little bit lower, once again, going to bitch edge. Come here, chalk. We don't love it. It's a little high, but I think it'll come down. Victor Hovland at under 20%. I truly think we're going to check tomorrow and he is going to be up. Victor Hovland just strikes me as that steamy guy that we're going to look at tomorrow and be like, how the hell did he get to 25%? Because he's Victor Hovland and he's 10,200, which is a gross mispricing, okay? So with that, Victor Hovland, as of right now, I would say is actually pretty good chalk, but just because I know he's going to go up, I'm going to give Victor Hovland, once again, I'm just bitch hedging all over the place tonight. I don't love it. It's a little high, all right? Moving on from there, Colin Morikawa down at 18.8. I actually did my Rosetta Stone earlier, and I remember giving him chalk, right? He's a little high, but not too high versus the people around him. But now that I've had some time to marinate on it, and just because there's not enough of these people, I think I'm going to change my mind. And last time I checked, it's my fucking show, and I can do that. And so Colin Morikawa, simply because you suck and you're going to screw everybody again this week because you're a Mora flower and you can't handle these conditions, him coming in at 19% when there's guys right below him at 8, 9, and 10%, I hate to do it. No, actually, I'd love to do it. Colin Morikawa, you sir, are
the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
Flowers can't grow in this weather. They can't grow in this weather. Why don't you go snap hook another one OB, you donkey dick? All right, I've got old Rory McIlroy showing up at 11,500. More pricey than Scotty, I'm not sure what that is about. Look, you know I'm no fan of Rory, but Rory at 17% or so is laughable, right? He's just too good to be at that ownership. I'm probably even going to play that donkey dick. I can't wait to lose my money playing Rory. But I don't even call – he's certainly not donkey jock, and I don't even call him a jock. I think if you want to call Rory any kind of jock, you just say he's –
okay.
He's okay, Chuck, right? More than acceptable, right? That is a very acceptable ownership. And if you're looking forward to playing Roy this week, if you already like him, I think you should be pumped that you're going to get him at that ownership. Last up, the neckbeard himself. Look, by the way, you've got to concede that whenever, if it's going to be cold out there, his neckbeard on Patrick Cantlay is going to keep his neck warm. And that's not nothing. That is not nothing. That is a real secret weapon that he has. But I think at 17%, he's in the same boat, man. I don't even call that chalk, but if you want to, I'm just going to call it.
Okay.
I think it's undeniable that ownership this week is really flattened out. Why that is, I think the market's just gotten smarter, right? I think people are starting to realize that playing guys with spiked ownership in the long run is a donkey dick play. It is smoothed out, but there is one notable exception. And it's easy. It's a mispricing. Old Eric Cole, even though he is in California this week, so we're going to call him Eric Solar. Guy loves the environment. Here's what I can tell you. He's mispriced. He should be every bit of, I think, $8,200 in this field. When you look at the way he's been playing, he should be $8,200. This is a great course fit, and they priced him at $7,300. So Eric Cole is getting ownership simply because of his mispricing. But around here, we don't give a shit. It matters what your ownership is relative to the people around you. Eric Cole, I hate to do this, okay? I'm converting to solar. You, sir, are.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
You know, except when we're converting to solar to save the universe, okay? Except when we're trying to save the universe. By the way, 274 likes. Appreciate it. Why don't you get me up to 300 dudes and dudettes? There you go. That is a breakdown of the ownership. But as always, if there's people, once people see this ownership and others people ownership, people are going to move up. People are going to move down. We call that steam. Wednesday night steam, and we call that guys moonwalking. Let's go talk about some guys that I think are going to steam and moonwalk. Let me open up my slideshow to keep you in suspense. First up, let's do the steam guys, and I've already hinted at it. First up, we have Big Dick Hoff, okay? By the way, he plays poker at my local casino. Hope to see him there tonight. I doubt he'll be there, but you never know. Victor Hovland at 10,200. Here, this is simple. This is very, very simple. Look at the players in this field and just ask yourself. There's only one correct answer. Is Victor Hovland talent-wise closer to Rory and Scheffler or closer to Cantlay and Xander? Time's up. That is right. It is Rory and Scheffler. So why he is priced basically $1,400 or $1,300 and $1,200 cheaper than them when he's only like a microscope, like that a millinch. Is millinch? What the hell ever? A millimeter. There we go, you freaking Euros. He should be priced so much higher. He should be every bit of 10,800. He's at 10,200. At some point when people start building their lineups, they're going to say, wait a second, why don't I just start with Victor Hovland and save $1,300? That's a very valid question. Victor Hovland tonight will almost certainly get steamed up. It's happening, right? Victor Hovland, we're going to see him. Wouldn't even surprise me if he comes in the highest owned guy. I can feel it in my loins, boy. I can feel it in my loins. He's going to be popular. Next up, who's the next guy that I think is going to get steamed up tonight? Old Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood is coming off of a win over in, I don't know, across the world. If it's not in America, I don't care. I don't give a shit, okay? By the way, now that Arrow Hatton's gone, do I got to start saying, oh, me Fleetwood? Omi Fleetwood. It doesn't work as well. I need everything in my life. Very sad. Very sad. Gonna miss saying it. Now we'll forget that he even exists because that's what happens when you go to live. All right, Tommy Fleetwood at 8,600. Look, Tommy Fleetwood is coming in good form. We saw this just last week when old Hogard came over to protect all the hoes, and he got surprisingly steamed. I think people are over that whole fear of Euros coming over. They know when Euros come over and they're in good form, they're going to be popular. I have Tommy Fleetwood projected at something very reasonable, like 12%. I think we're going to check in tomorrow. He is going to be one of the highest guys, if not the highest owned guy in all of the 8Ks. I am seeing old Tommy Fleetwood getting steamed up tonight. And lastly, the last guy that I think is going to get steamed up is Nick Taylor. And this is just simply, I think, the tout influence. I've heard a lot of people talking up Nick Taylor, and we know that people love course history. But I want to warn you one more time. Course history this week is dangerous, as so many of these guys who were playing this week have not played this course before. Normally, it's the same kind of like average to slightly above average field we have, and Nick Taylor can beat the brakes off of those guys. But this week, we have a deeper, and much more talented field than we normally have, as it is an elevated event this week. And so people are going to cling to Nick Taylor because of his course history. And I'm just warning you, that might not be the best thing to do. Regardless, Nick Taylor tonight, because of the tout influence, will get steamed up. But if people are steaming up, that must mean somebody's moonwalking. Who's going to be moonwalking at ownership? Let's check it out. Number one, Old Spieth's. Look, I get the course history is a thing, but like at some point, somebody's going to say, wait, I'm paying $9,400 for Spieth when Morikawa and Max Homa are cheaper than him. What the hell am I doing with my life? And when Jordan Spieth has guys that are priced cheaper than him, who are objectively better than him at this point right now, right? I love Jordan Spieth, but those guys are playing better than him. Then people are just going to go to the better players at a cheaper price. That's just the market being efficient. Jordan Spieth, I hate to say this, you, sir, are going to moonwalk tonight, and you are not going to be over 20%. The next guy that I think is going to moonwalk, old Ludvig Iceberg, who I have lingering around 13 or 14%. But people know that his biggest weapon is that driver, and this is a not driver course, right? You don't hardly use the driver at all here. We still don't know what old Iceberg does in bad conditions, and he hasn't exactly been lighting it on fire. Yes, he had a solid finish last week, but the two performances before that were not great. He is not coming off at a guy that people are lining up to pay $9,000 for, right? Especially when he's an unknown commodity in conditions like this. We don't know how he does on these windy coastal courses yet, right? Coastal windy court? I don't know what the hell I said. So with that, I think old Iceberg is going to moonwalk backwards. And lastly, the last guy that I think you're going to see moonwalk is old Benny Ann. I love Benny Ann. But at some point, people are going to say, this is the same thing I said with Taylor Montgomery last week. Benny Ann is $8,000, and the four guys directly below him in the pricing are by any measurement, better golfers than him. Absolutely better golfers than him, and all of them are coming in roughly at half his ownership. At some point, somebody's going to say, wait a second, why am I playing Benny Ann over objectively better players? And I think you're going to see Benny Ann come down to the low double digit. I think he'll be more like 11 or 12, not at the 15 that I have him at. So with that, I think Benny Ann is a guy that is going to moonwalk backwards, which if he's going to moonwalk backwards and you like him, you should be excited about that, and I think that that should get you to play him. All right, there you go. That is the Steam and Moonwalk, guys. Let's get over. Did you know the big guy does his own projections and spends way too much time on them and his own ownership? And oh, yeah, then he goes and loads them into this thing called the Solver right here, the best optimizer out there. And did you know you can get my projections and my ownership not only for week-long, a.k.a. kicking the nuts, but round one, round two, round three, and round four showdown? Did you know this? Now you know, Bob. And you're thinking, man, I'm just a casual player, Jim. I can't be spending all that money. I get it. I have seen what some of these optimizers charge and some of these sites charge. It's disgusting. It truly is. That's the only reason I made a partnership with the Solver, because if you use my little landing page, Showdown Hoedown, you can get the optimizer for an entire month for $24.99. That's not only the optimizer, which will make the best versions of your player pool, that also comes with my preloaded ownership and my preloaded projections for every single round of PGA. I'm telling you, sign up. Just make sure when you do use that little Showdown Hoedown landing page, and you will get everything loaded in there. And I am not one of those people that's like, projections are everything. No, projections are part of the puzzle, right? They're just like the model, just like ownership, just like weather. If you think that one thing is going to magically give you the answer, oh, Sims, Sims are the answer. No, they're part of the puzzle. They're not the only fucking answer. Anybody who sells you that, it's just some huckster trying to take more money from you, okay? Realize that just because you have an optimizer, you're not going to magically win. But I had more GPP wins last year using an optimizer for the first time than I've ever had, simply because I still have my same process, but now I just have an optimizer, which is taking the best versions of my player pool and making the best lineups instead of me manually making them. Optimizers, they just know better, bruh. Okay, let's get to it. If I'm going to be the guy that doesn't give my picks and plays and stuff like that, well, then I better give you some process tips. And this week, I got a process tip for you, and it is called, during no-cut events, chalk gets there more often, okay? You need to understand this. I am a dude who has basically made a living off of fading donkey dick chalk, right? How did Keegan and Luke List treat all you ass clowns last week, okay? So, it works out. It doesn't always work out, but when it does, it works out, okay? And here's what I can tell you. At a no-cut event, I think you should be more willing to play chalk than you are at no-cut events. Because at a no-cut event, if a guy just dicks around, like Morikawa for 1 week, just dicks around for one round, they miss the cut and they don't get a round three and a round four. But in a no-cut event, Colin Morikawa still could have been an ass clown last week, still snap-hooked one OB on 17, still made the cut, and went 62-62 over the weekend and won the damn tournament, right? That's what can happen at no-cut events. Chalk guys are guaranteed 72 holes, assuming this full tournament gets played. And if they're guaranteed all those holes, why they're chalk is usually because they're better players in good form on a course that fits them well. And when you have all three of those things to do and you now have a larger sample, they're going to get there more frequently. So on weeks like this where there is no cuts, I am more likely to play Chuck. Whereas a week like last week, where there's a brutal, you know, a course that can be brutal and a cut, those are the times I like to fade the Chuck, because if the Chuck blows up after 36 holes, I have mega leverage on the field. If Chuck blows up through the first 36 holes this week, it may not mean shit because they can go nuke on the weekend and catch everybody and pass them, and you'll still lose, right? So the point I'm making is you should still be aware of Chuck. You should still be cognizant of when you're putting it in your lineup, when you're playing it, who you're playing it with. But to just completely fade all the Chuck this week, let me go ahead and tell you, it's going to be a real big kick in your nutsack, because some of those guys that are chalky this week are probably going to win the tournament or come in second place, and you're going to need them to be in a winning lineup. Know that up front, all right? Let's get over to the model, because if you're not aware, the big guy thinks the model is life. It is the only thing I consider. Once again, it's part of the puzzle. If that's called a joke, the model is part of the process. Some of the things I looked at this week, I looked at less than driver courses. They're not going to be hitting the driver a lot. This is a technical layup course. It is one of the shortest courses on the tour, and it's a par 72. I looked at tee to green on, hold on, what was my parameters here? I can't even remember. Tee to green on very short courses, as this is a very short course. Who plays those well? Looked at two key proximity ranges, 100 to 125. You either have a wedge or you're hitting 200 plus. Those are the two distances you're going to have. We looked at greens in regulation in medium to tough conditions, as I think that's what it's going to be. We looked at around the green in medium and tough conditions, because with these tiny little small greens, these guys are going to be scrambling their balls off. Scrambling is whenever you don't make your green in regulation and you need to get up and down to save a par. Looked at POA putting. Yes, some people out there, I've literally say this course is bent grass. This is POA, straight up POA. And of course, looked at total. Which one was this one? This was 3 years. No cut events. Just who's good at no cut events, because some guys play better when they're guaranteed four rounds. And looking at the model, number one in the model, Neckbeard Patrick Cantlay's number one in my model. Whatever. I didn't know. I think I also put on there failure to develop. So he's like off the charts on that one. That's why he just has those little scraggly hairs on the neck. That's the only thing I could think of. All right. As you can see, no surprise, like all the best players look really good in the model. Fucking shocking. Just shocking that the best players are good in the model. I don't know how I'm so good at it. So what can I tell you? First of all, I think you got to realize that Scottie Scheffner is the best player in the world. If you think that Rory's better than him, well, congratulations living in La La Land. But Scottie Scheffler is the best player in the world, and he's not the most, not the highest priced guy. So with that, I think that you are going to see Scottie Scheffler get a little bit of that steam. I think he will be noticeably higher owned than Rory, simply just because people are saying, I save $100 and I get the better player. I think that's worth noting. I've already told you what I think is going to happen with Victor. I do think he'll get steamed up, because you just see that dramatic price decrease from Rory and Scheffler down to Victor Hovland, right? Patrick Cantlay looks really good in the model, but I'm telling you, there's two narratives out there. One, people are tired of being dicked over by neckbeard Patrick Cantlay like they were last week. And number two is he good in tough conditions? Because the statistics would seem to bear out that he's not. But when I go look at these stats, the model says, oh, but he is. But he is. You can see Max Homa, number two in the model. This course, you know, Max Homa is good at this course, which no surprise he would be good in the model built around this course. He looks great in the model. I think Morikawa is a dude that screwed over a lot of people last week. I was thinking he was going to be a sneaky comeback play. If the conditions were ideal, we didn't have all this rain, all this wind, and all this cold, I would be into Colin Morikawa. I think he is the most talented golfer in the world when he has absolutely perfect conditions, right? He is the most beautiful, prettiest flower in all the world. He just needs the perfect little biodome to blossom in, and when he doesn't have that, I think he's hot fucking garbage, Bob. That's what I think about him. Okay, Ludvig, I've already told you, I think that this is not a great course fit for him, but we also don't know who this guy is yet, so we're gonna have to wait and see. Nobody is playing Sam Burns. Nobody is playing Cam Young. And even Tony Finau is remarkably low owned this week versus where I think he should be. First of all, I think $8,800 is a little too cheap. Did you see Tony Finau's ball striking last week? That guy was a tee to green monster. Yes, I know he putts like Helen Keller. I had to watch it too. But like at some point, like that tee to green is going to overcome it, especially if conditions are going to be tough. Tommy Fleetwood, you got to remember a lot of his stats always get hurt because he plays so much of his golf over in Europe or wherever the hell he plays. Jason Day is a really low owned option. If you want a bounce back guy, you got to think. The only thing I'm worried about is when he wears those MC Hammer pants, is the water going to weigh those down? That is something we got to consider. We consider every angle here on this show. From there, Hideki, you know, look, there's good Hideki and there's bad Hideki. I don't know what you want me to say. All right, that's all I can say. If it gets dirty and grimy out there, tell me people don't want to play old horse teeth Matthew Fitzpatrick, right? It makes a lot of sense. Last time we saw him, he screwed us. Go right back to him. The Hogard, you know how I feel about him. I was late to the party. Now I'm going to be there. I'm going to be right there with him protecting all the hoes. Tom Kim, I think, is the most talented player in this field who is just completely getting disrespected. No one is thinking about Tom Kim. Tom Kim, this is the kind of course that he plays well on. He plays well on short technical courses. I know he hasn't been playing well, but if there is a course that fits his game, it is this course. And the fact that he's going to be like 7% owned, I think he might have to play some old Tommy Kims. Moving on. I've not heard a single person this week say Russell Henley. Am I the only one that thinks this course just seems perfect for Russell Henley? I mean, who sticks a wedge closer from 100 to 125? No one. No one. This is a Russell Henley course, right? Maybe the conditions will get tough, but I think legitimately Russell Henley could be single digits this week. I've not heard a soul mention him. If they're going to have those tough, rainy, windy, cold conditions, I'm pretty sure I just watched Brian Harman I couldn't tell if it was him because, you know, I was looking straight ahead and, you know, he's like down at my knees. But I'm pretty sure Brian Harman won the Open Championship in conditions that I think are not going to be too crazy different from these. He is a dude that will grind his dick off for you and, you know, maybe even grind his knees off. And that's why he's so short. Just a theory. It's just a theory. Adam Scott is a dude that, you know, sneaky good at this course. He doesn't strike me as a guy that would be good at this course, but you can't ignore that course history. And then we just have the reigning U.S. Open champion, Wyndham Clark, down here at $7,400, and nobody wants to play him. All right? Do I need to remind you? He won the U.S. Open. If I think this course is going to be tough, he won the U.S. Open. What's tougher than the U.S. Open? It's crazy that, like, we're just going to disrespect Wyndham Clark like this. Plus, he has wind in his name. That has to mean something. I'm not sure what. We already know Eric Cole is going to be the donkey chalk of the century. And I get it. He's just underpriced. But at the same point, like, I can't play that bad at chalk. Nick Taylor's going to get steamed up. I think there's some nice grinders down here. Are we sure that Matthew Pavon? Oh, I am French and I kiss you a tongue because I am French and that is what we do. I also win tournaments when I make birdie from rough on 18. You do with that, you stupid American. Matthew Pavon, are we sure he's not a thing, right? If he's if he's just one of those dudes that can grind his balls for you, right? What if he is that guy? Well, then, like, I think that he's going to be not owned at all. Brendan Todd can grind his balls. Harris English can grind his balls. Seb Straka can grind his balls. Shez Reavy. What am I? What? Just can't grind shit. Christian Bezatenhout, the old Bez dispenser. There's a lot of dudes right here in this low 7K and 6,900. Nice. That will grind their balls for you. And if you think it's going to play tough this week, I think you give a bump to those kind of guys, right? I think Cam Davis is almost certainly going to be the most popular guy in the 6Ks this week. And with that, I think that it's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. And if you want one sleeper that I'm considering this week, look, anytime a course is playing tough, I have this weird thing in my head where I'm like, tough conditions, give me Kurt Kitayama. Give me Kurt Kitayama. He's going to be my sleeper this week, right? $6,600, 66 on the model. I'm just telling you, it's a sign. It's a sign. There you go. And honestly, I think all these guys like Lee Hodges, Seamus Power, S.H. Kim, I think you can get behind a lot of these just freaking slime balls. And the one thing I could tell you is outside of Cam Davis, I don't know that anybody will be over 6% owned in the 6Ks. So if you're willing to put one or even two of those guys in your lineup, you're going to be building a lineup that is completely different than everybody else. And that is really important because that allows you to go eat a chalk piece or two or three if you're making your lineup different than everybody else. It's not about who you play. It's about how you play them. Okay? Yeah, I stole that line from Tambo. Deal with it. Deal with it, pal. 319 likes, 480 people, 160 cock gobblers in here. All right, here's what I can tell you. The one guy I'm not playing this week, well, I don't know. I think, look, I'm going to go with my heart here. I'm going to go with my heart. The one guy I'm not playing this week, just because he's a delicate little bitch, I think that the one guy that there's just no way I can play, his name is Colin Morikawa. What do you think, Polly?
Get the fuck out of here.
That's right. Get the fuck out of here. All right, we are not playing Colin Morikawa. I'm sorry. I'm not a buyer. If it were perfect conditions, honestly, this course is perfect for him. If the conditions get perfect, it would not surprise me if he goes and wins this thing, okay? That's what I'll tell you. But the more important question is this. Who's the one guy I'm playing this week? Well, let me go ahead and tell you. The one guy I'm playing this week is a guy that I was pretty sure was broken last year, right? I was done with him. I'm like, I am out on that motherfather. But I think that we need to take a little bit of time to reflect and ask ourselves, is he still broken? And if he isn't, does that mean we need to play him? I will warn you, the editor told me that the video tonight for the one guy I'm playing is a band that I really like. Let's see what we got. Oh, shit. That's NSYNC. I love NSYNC. I'm from the 90s, baby. I gotta tell you, 2023, I was over this, dude. Baby, bye, bye, bye. You didn't play well. I don't know what you want from me. I can't play a guy who's broken. But now I realize that it's not 23 anymore, so I no longer have to say bye, bye, bye. Because in PGA DFS, you have to have forgiveness. And it's a brand new year. And this brand new year, you gotta have forgiveness. Oh, you're enough for me. I don't want to lose him again. He's not like his old him. I'll never love anybody but this guy. Because the one guy we're playing this week can't find success in tough conditions. Oh shit, that's me. He can be a grinder. He has everything you need. Who is the guy in the back? He said JT Poston. I don't think JT Poston. I think it's gonna be JT. Oh, that's right. JT can grind his ball. Oh. Oh, and he's the boy band singer. You gotta love this. It's gonna be JT. He's the leader of a boy band, and I think Justin Timberlake used to play this event, so it works on many different levels. The one guy we're playing this week, I'm back. It's not 2023 anymore. The one guy we're playing, it's gonna be JT. JT! All right, now I'm officially out of breath. God, I gotta quit doing it. I gotta do more cardio. It's undeniable. Guys, look at me real quick. I'm about to do the drawing. I see 469 people in here. Nice. Here's what I'll tell you. There's a really big announcement coming next week. You are going to want to be on this live stream next Wednesday at 7. I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you that Ron has a fucking samurai sword and Jon Snow's on there. What the hell ever that means. Here's what I can tell you. You're going to want to be there. It is going to be something very special for you and for all of my members. The big guy's blowing up. And it's not just his heart beating out of his chest. That is unrelated to what I am talking about. Let's get to the drawing. But before I do, go check out my site, dgen75.com. I can assure you it is the fastest growing community of all in PGA DFS. It has been the craziest month we've ever had this month of January. I encourage you to go sign up. I give the best content, the best tools out there. And I do it by without doing this little thing called price gouging, like all these other ass clowns in this industry. $34.99 gets you every single thing that I offer, all my behind the paywall content, and of course, my Rosetta Stone, which I put out for all for week-long round two, round three, and round four showdown. All of you guys has everything you need to know, any weather edges, I think. I encourage you to check it out. And also remember, the big guy goes away 1 week from today. If you ever want to sign up for the big guy where we meet and we talk about my entire process before every slate, you need to go sign up now or it's going away. Once again, shout out to my winners. Just a casual 16 GPP winners from my community last week. Ooh, DGEN 75. No, who's that? That guy who had 16 GPP winners in his freaking community last week. That's who. Look at these guys. 50,000, 20,000, 10,000, 6,000, 5,000, 4,000, 4,000, 2,500, 1,000. I mean, just go look at like round three, round four showdown and just tell me you don't see the top of that flag flying at the top of all of them. It's insane. I'm just telling you. Go look. There's no better advertisement than what our community is doing. It is not my picks and, oh, DGEN gave me the picks to get there. No, I help people build a process, and these motherfathers do it on their own. This is them. This isn't about me. It's about them and their success. That is what we do at DGEN 75. We're about building a process. We give you a steady foundation of good projections, good ownership, good advice, so that you have that steady foundation to build your process and not like all these other fraudulent piece of shit sites. I'm so sick and tired of them, but more on that later. If you've ever wanted to try out my site, I encourage you to go sign up for my newsletter. I'll give you a free week simply by signing up for the newsletter. You just let at the DGEN editor know. He'll get you over there. All right, here we go. $100 single entry, and then editor, I need three names drawn. Actually, I need four names, editor. Three for a $20 ticket with me from the chat and a fuck counter to play against me, okay? Here we go. Let's spin it. This is for everybody that liked and retweeted on Twitter. $100 single entry. The big guy's not a poor. I'm not a poor. Look it up. I am not a poor. The winner for $100 single entry, RL Parker 22. You're a legend. You reach out to me. I got the $100 single entry reserved. And four, our other winners RDTV. I don't even know what that is. Regular definition television, I guess. You are building a $20 lineup with me. Reach out to me on Twitter or on the Discord, and we'll get it built tonight. Mr. Awaken Up has won. Send me same message. I'm, like, not famous, so I, like check my DMs and, like, return them and stuff because, you know, like, I'm not famous. And Brock Newsom, you also win one. I know Brock. Good people. Karam, I swear to God I just played Karam. Karam, me and you, death match to the end. If you don't know how to do it, let the editor know. Let the big guy breathe. Guys, don't forget, I am going to the Waste Management next weekend. If you're going to be there, the Ship It Crew Nation is going to be there. The DJ Crew is going to be there. And we're just going to have drinks, watch golf, watch football, go to the casino, go to Pop Stroke. We're going to have a good time. It's just about having fun with people, right? I'm like, I'm just a normal dude. I live in Oklahoma City. There's no famous people here, okay? I just a regular slapdick that lives in Oklahoma City, and I want to meet every single one of you. Shake your hand and, you know, drink a beer with you. Not too many, though, because, you know, I'm like a gym bro. The big thing is, for the Sunday Super Bowl party, those spots are filling up fast, okay? We got to reserve those. So if you want those, you got to reach out to me or Tambo on Twitter to get those spots reserved, okay? It'll be Sunday. We'll be watching it. It's all you can eat, all you can drink. We have the place reserved. It's called the Fairmont. So reach out to us. We'll get those spots reserved for you, okay? Oh, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. All right. Let's go answer some questions, and then we will get it. You know what? I need a swig. I'm still sweating my balls off from that JT dance. I didn't rehearse enough, did I? I don't feel like I rehearsed enough. I don't feel like I nailed that dance like I did Gangnam Style. All right. Let's go answer some questions. Oh, a super chat. Maddie Mitch. What's the best way to decide who plays in wet conditions / bad weather? Yeah. So that site I was just on where I do this, you can go sort, right? You can go over here and you can, like, make your own model and you can look at tough scoring conditions. That's what I would be searching, right? Tough scoring conditions. When scoring conditions are difficult or hard, that's what I would be looking at there. That I think that would be the best indicator. Another Maddie Mitch. I don't even know the hell this guy is. Give me $10. Kudos to you. My main focus lately has been game selection. Are there any games that hit your 20, 50, 10% rule? Yeah, that $10, 18 max. We almost have the $5 drive the green there. The key to really getting that format, Maddie, is it's never going to be a lottery style contest, right? It's almost always going to be a contest that has $100,000 prize pool or smaller. Here's a good rule. The smaller the prize pool, the better chance there is to have those rules for those contests. So if you're just looking at the very top, like if you go sort by most expensive contest on DraftKings, like I have here, see, I'm sorted by top prizes. Almost inevitably, none of them, and I mean none of them, will have that ideal payout structure. You're going to have to scroll down here and get into these, you know, $30,000 ones, $20,000 ones. That's where you can find them, right? So that's what I would tell you to do. That's what I'd tell you to do, Bob. Which, by the way, Fantasy Golf World Championship tickets, there's a shit ton of them out there this week. We got a 31, a 17, 1107, 21, 3000, 490, 120. So if you want to chase those Fantasy Golf World Championship tickets, hell of a week to do it. And let me warn you, those bitches be filling up fast. So y'all better get in there right now, right? Meow. Did you say meow? That's right, I did, pal. Pal! Hey, 420 people in here. Let's smoke a joint. Hey, hit the like. I see 334 people, 420 likes. We already got all the assholes who leave after the drawing. All right, so let's get them likes going. Mr. Shaloub, the guy that said, I'm taking Sunday off, and then just casually shipped the $50,000 555. This motherfather. DGen made me do it. Turned me into a true DGen. I told you. Shaloub should know better. My dude Mike right here should know better. This is a guy who's had unbelievable success at PGA DFS. He's in my community. We're part of the team. We got a lot of smart people in my community. And, you know, even the best players hit 2, 3, 4 month dry patches, and you feel like you've lost it, but you haven't. You look and you say, has my process changed? No. Am I using the exact same process that I was when I was having my success? If the answer is yes, then usually it's just you got to wait out the bad juju, right? And that was the answer. That's basically what I told him. And he went and played. He won $50,000. Okay. You're like, he only gave you 20. That's 20 more than I was expecting, pal. All right. Is this where we come to get kicked in the nuts? That's actually DraftKings classic lobby. That's where you go to do that. What's up, everyone? Love this weather. I do too. I want some more carnage. Last week was so much fun. Since a no cut event favors the lesser players, are you willing to leave one or nah? I don't like leaving a lot of money on the table. What I'm going to do is I'm going to allow it to maybe let me double stack Rory and Scheffler and just build some different lineups that way, right? I'll use all my lineup, but I'll build my lineups different, Jerry. Does that make sense? Are we playing the Hobbit? Probably not. I don't know. I think I'm just worried that he might get in the middle of one of the fairways, and if the water rises too fast, we might lose him, right? And I'm pretty sure if you die, you have to WD. I'm pretty sure. And I don't want to see that. That's tragedy. More flower bounce back? Probably. I just said I'm not playing him. Will the editor be at the waste management? Not a chance. Who's going to run the show back home? Bad weather. Two old gloves. Where is... Yeah, I know. Aaron Rye would have a huge advantage this week. How much weight should we put into weather this week for week long? 20, 30%? I'm going to wait until the morning, Xterka. I'm pretty sure you'll be in the big guy chat. I'll probably be somewhere between 20% to 50% of my decision will come down to the weather, depending on how good of a read I feel I have on it in the morning. That's why I'm building in the morning. I'm going to wake up real, real early, like 9:30. Woke up for 8 o'clock today for Pat Mayo. Yeah, I'm just a trooper. I'm a trooper. I don't know what else to say. Think Kevin Yu can keep up impressive form this week? I don't think so. I really don't. I love Kevin Yu. I really do. But this is just another classic golfer, man. Like, Kevin Yu, you're not that guy, pal. Like, you're not ready to play with these guys. Cameron Young chalk? I do not know where the hell you heard Cameron Young is chalk. If Cameron Young is chalk, I will buy you a new car. Might be a Hot Wheels if he is actually chalk. How much do you care about course history? Not a ton this week, just because so many of these guys basically have no course history. Can Todd Father push through tough weather? Here's what I tell you. Nobody makes more pars than Brennan Todd, and I have a feeling par is going to be a very good score on a lot of holes. What do you think about Pavon? I don't know what to think about him yet. I don't like guys like him who are coming off their first win, but I do like his game with these conditions. Does a no-cut event change your approach to total ownership? Because I go off cumulative or product ownership, not cumulative ownership, right? I just make sure to have one or two low-owned guys in my lineup, and that really makes my product ownership quite a bit lower. Cumulative ownership is for the noobs. I'm going to force at least one guy under 7K in every lineup. You like? I don't mind that. I'm probably going to have a pool of about 7 or 8 guys, and I'm going to have a rule that says every lineup must contain one of these guys. And the reason I do that is because they're going to be low-owned, and I want to make sure that I have one or two of those low-owned options in my player pool, right? Lower volume this week with the weather? No, I'm playing more. I'm literally playing twice as much as I normally play. I got a hot take, and I want to run well. I don't know if it's going to be right, but I'm going to play my angle. I'm going to go 100 miles an hour. That's the only way I know how to play. Go Pokes, what do you think about using 3 6K golfers? I think that's too much. I think 2 is where I would cap it at. At some point, you can be too punty. Do you think it's worth considering Saturday studs on a chance? Nah, I don't buy that. Because once if they suck the first two rounds, it won't matter how much they nuke Saturday. In a no-cut event, do you think it's a must-have guys that make the eagles? Well, I don't think there's going to be a ton of eagles made at these courses, Doug, so I'm not really factoring that. What's up, Lamont? You like Spyglass better than PB tomorrow, big guy? I mean, if you made me pick, I would still be Pebble Beach tomorrow for Showdown, but I don't think either course is going to be particularly easy tomorrow. How about that loser Rory this week? If nobody wants to play him, I'll play that loser piece of shit. Moving on. Are there any guys besides Xander who crush at no-cut events? You know, I could go look at that for you real quick. Because, you know, I got, like, my model and stuff because I'm, like, a big model guy. If you want to know some guys that are real good at no-cut events, how about Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay? I mean, basically all the good players. Because when you guarantee more holes for good players to play, they're going to recognize their abilities over the more slapdick players. If DFAP is the Wild Wild West, does that make data the new gold? Ooh, I like that. I like that Bukowski coming in with a Bukowski quote. All right, how are you feeling about Tom Kim this week? Oh, I don't like him, but I will say this course seems to fit him. I don't know that he's that grinder that we need in tough conditions, but if nobody wants to play him, just straight talent alone, I think he's the most overlooked player this week. Magic Beans Tigala this week? You know, you get that driver out of his hand, I think that could be good. Plus, I always say Tigala is like Jordan Spieth light, and if Jordan Spieth's had success at this course, why can't Tigala? Hopefully Tigala doesn't mind hitting balls hanging off the edge of a 60-foot ledge. How much is DK paying to stop the slander? None. I guess a PS5. Is Mock Lovin' in here? I doubt it. Is that even a real person? I don't think bots can watch a show. Is it even possible to make a horrible lineup this week? Yes. Yeah. I mean, it may not feel like that when you're making them tonight, but check on them again Sunday night. You'll see that there was. Do you play any Rainmakers? I do not. With crappy weather, what narrative is best? Bombers, Mutters, Course History, Short Game? I really like the Short Game. I think the greens and regulation are going to be down this year with these small greens, and I think that wet rough is going to be tough to get out of, so I need some guys that are pretty creative, right? That's kind of part of the reason I like Justin Thomas. He's just so good around the greens. Here for education, not for free picks. Yeah, wait, picks. You want some picks, Joanne? I got you, girl. All right, is there an all-Asian lineup the nuts? I mean, if you get good Hideki, I don't mind it. Hideki 75 or 80 to 1. Look, Hideki could definitely win this tournament, and he could definitely miss the cut. I know you're saying it's a no-cut event. Trust me, Hideki can still miss the cut at a no-cut event. Trust me, I've seen it. All right, given the win possibilities, are you looking at the hang time or apex height on drives? Yeah, that shit, that's too much. Get the fuck out. Paulie, tell him.
Well, get the fuck out of here.
All right. Hey, Mother Father, it's great to listen to you today on the Mayo stream. What are your thoughts on Hobbit this week? I think he's going to come up just a little short. Your baby, the $10 18 max. What is the minimum number of lineups? I like to always put 18 in it. If you don't want to play that much, then maybe look at a different tournament. That's what I would say. We just looked at that. I showed you that chart right here. The key of maxing tournaments really does increase your ROI in the long run. Long off the tee is going to be a disadvantage. I don't think it's going to be a disadvantage. It's just not going to be an advantage. With what conditions do you make? Does that make the PoE less bumpy? I don't know that. Like I heard somebody say that on maybe I don't remember where I heard that. But that is an interesting point. But I don't know the answer. I once again, I'm more of a I get off to projections and ownership. I don't usually find myself getting off to grass. Okay, we all have our kinks though. No kink shaming on this channel. Why isn't the DGen contest filled? Oh, yeah, editor, put that back in the chat. DGen contest. Let's see what we're at. Hopefully, we're getting close to 500 here. Oh, we're up to 505. Let's go. Get it filled, you mother fathers. Has the guy in the back reserved the spots? Guy in the back? He's still mad about missing on JT Poston. He's very upset about that. Do you think the majority of the field will have a tough time putting? Yes, it's POA. Will I pay attention to the ticket drawings this week? I hope so. I hope so. How about only guys who missed the cut their last time out? I don't mind that. I don't think I would do that with all of them, but I do think that doing that with three or four guys is interesting. How do you approach your lineup constructions with just 79 players in the field and no cut? I'm going to do it pretty much the same. I'm going to determine the number of lineups I'm going to play. I'm going to build my player pool, picking from different ranges. I'm going to narrow that player pool down. I'm going to make a point to really consider who is chalky and not have too much chalk in one lineup. Would you play course history or recent? I would be going recent form because so many of these guys don't have course history. If Liv, I think it will almost be Liv clean in place the entire time based on how much mud's going to be on this course. Well, most builds have guys from each level. Golly, I am struggling tonight. Or from the 6Ks. I think that not many people are going to the 6Ks. I think a lot of guys are going to stop in the 7Ks. Who do you like for one and done? I don't know. That's too picky for me. Any chance that just three rounds? I do think there is a chance, right? Especially if Sunday and Monday's looking bad. They might try to jam it in Saturday. I doubt they can get 36 in, but I guess they could try. But I think it's a real possibility because those dudes aren't going to want to hang around until Tuesday and then go tee off at the Waste Management Thursday. And there's a lot of those guys playing. Would you rank your favorite showdown rounds? Number two, number three, number four, number one in that order. Okay, I like round one the least, two the most, third the second most, fourth the third most, and one is my least favorite. I don't have a lot of time to build lineups and play $30, $40 a week. Would you recommend one single entry? Yeah, I think that's this is how you answer that, Jared. You go make your player pool, right? Go determine how many players you like. If you like 6 to 8 guys, then yes, you should probably just make one single entry out of that. If you find yourself liking, 14 to 16 guys, maybe go do a 20 max, right? Go do the $1 20 max or something like that, right? If you find yourself liking, maybe 10 guys, maybe go do a 3 max, right? Go do a $10 3 max or a $20 3 max, whatever it is. That's what I would say. Let your player pool dictate how many lineups you should make. They think that you have to finish the round on Saturday before the cut. There is no cut this week, brother. It's a no-cut event. Is it harder to predict ownership? God. When the weather seems like such a wild card? Honestly, I don't think people are giving any thought to this weather. I think less than 6% of all people playing this week will make any lineups based on the weather. How many two-glove mother fathers this week? I don't know of a single one, bub. Big guy got the cold brew going. That was this morning. If I drink cold brew right now, I'd be, I'd never get to bed. Is this where we want accuracy off the tee? Yes. I think that being in the fairway is going to be paramount. With lift clean in place, it becomes even more important. How do you know who's good and who's bad in weather? Well, typically, you just go look at difficult scoring conditions, and that will encapsulate a lot of the rounds they played in difficult weather conditions. Hey, good. Gorgie, welcome. Well, will Rory wait till Sunday to be a loser? Yeah. Or, it's Rory. He could do it all 4 days. He's got that in him. Cold weather and windy week favoring Euro mutters? I don't mind. Hey, here's what I can tell you, Kyle. I don't mind that narrative, right? Because at least then you're picking your lane and you're going 100 miles an hour, right? Is it going to be right? I don't know. But at least you chose something. A lot of people just pick names straight out of their ass. If you had to choose an 8K guy with better weather, I'm not doing that shit. Best in the business. Golly, I cannot quit clicking off my screen, editor. Didn't drop it all the way down. That's why, Dickie. Best in the business. It used to be just a sloppy. Let's go. You love to hear people reforming from sloppiness. Smaller greens makes for learning more or less on around the greens. Definitely more. Especially if I think there's going to be questionable conditions. Do you want any weight into which player they're playing with? I'm not giving any weight to that, but once again, pick your lane and drive in it. Best Far East place: Siwoo, Tom, SHKim, Sungjae, or Deki? I guess Tom Kim. Let's see. Did you see the clip of Finau hitting? Yeah, that was awesome. Finau hitting the driver on 7. I saw that. Does Patrick Cantlay have an advantage in the pro-am since he's playing slow? I don't. You know, Pat mentioned that today on the betting show, and I don't mind that narrative. I really don't. Strokes gained psychology. If that gets his slow ass to, you know, be in his fills, well then I'm all for it. How did you determine someone? How do you determine when someone's under or overpriced? It's very simple, Steve. I have been doing this a fuck long time. That's how. And I can look at him. I can say that guy is underpriced because he is significantly better than the golfers around him based on his course history, his recent form, and his overall talent. I've just been doing it so long. I think that when me and Tambo did that show Monday at the Price Look, I instantly said, well, there's your donkey chalk of the week, Eric Cole. And I was right because I can just look at it and tell, right? It's not like I'm cool. I've just been doing it so long. I just could do it with my eyes closed now. Webb is probably going to boat race this thing. I would love that, but I doubt it. How are chalk eater donkeys if it's hitting 50-50? Okay, this is a great question. Atusa 20, I don't recognize your name, and you've asked a borderline stupid fuck question, but I'm going to answer it sincerely. You want to know, let's come over here, and you say, look, it's 50-50. So, like, the chalk's outperforming the pivots at 50% of the time. That is correct. So it doesn't matter who you pick, right? You moron. Look, the chalk is 30% owned. The pivots are 16%. If you play these guys, you're getting twice the leverage. It's not rocket science. These guys, these 10-gay guys would have to outperform these guys at nearly a 2-to-1 ratio to justify playing that chalk. And they are performing exactly even. That means if you were playing them in the long run so far, you are losing money. It is not rocket science, dude. Change your tone or I'll kick your ass out. If it was a legit question, I only kind of apologize because it was a fucking stupid question. All right, moving on. Historically good players in storms or of biblical proportion? Yeah, okay, or whatever. Thoughts on Burns? No one's playing him. No one's playing him. Can you explain how the optimizer can be used for single entry and 3-max? Sure. Make your player pool and go build like 15 lineups and kind of like get a feel for who it's putting together in lineups and then see which one you like. That's what I would do. That's how I would use it. Same thing I do when I make my college football cash lineup. I go look at like the top 6, type 9 lineups. It's spitting out of the guys I like. And I say, which one of these do I like the most? Can you simply get different by including a bunch of 8K guys? Yeah, that 8K range is completely forgotten about. Once again, I already said I think Tommy Fleetwood catches a little steam, but nothing crazy. So I think that is a thing that you could do to get different because most people are going to be playing those guys in the 9Ks. Thoughts on being heavy on 2 10K, 1 9K, and yeah, I don't love the 3 guys 6K and below. That's just too many punts for me. That's my answer. New guy, which 2 players are too popular to play together? Probably Eric Cole and who is our other donkey chuck? Eric Cole and Max Homa. Don't, because they're just going to be paired together so frequently, I don't love it. Jeff, fading guys making their first start back from across the pond, playing on low. Oh, we got 420 people again. I feel like this is a sign I need to go get balls high tonight. I like that. I'm not worried about jet lag. That wasn't a thing last week, so I guess that, you know, coming back from Europe, not enough to jet lag you. Do we keep playing Jaeger? I will tell you, you know, I didn't like the way he finished, and I think that his biggest weapon's the driver, and this isn't a big driver course. Sepp going overlooked, yes. I think Sepp Straka is too good at that price tag. Is there a solver rule you prioritize for kicking the nuts? Really, I'll put some rules on, like, only play at max one of these guys or play at least 2 of these guys. I do a lot of stuff like that to get the lineups to look how I want, right? Jesus, is this freaking chat ever going to end? I'm sorry, guys. I'm answering like 5 more questions. Is filling out your lineup with bad weather grinders a terrible strategy? Not at all. If you think it's going to be bad weather, go with it. Problem is, are you sure that your perception of bad weather grinders is accurate? When everybody plays Jordan Spieth, easy. What do? You ain't wrong, bub. No cut lend itself to a bigger or smaller player pool. No cut events, I think that you probably want to spread out a little bit more. A little bit more, I think, would be the answer, right? Let's see. Why is Mathieu Pavon low owned in the model and so low owned? Just because people don't like to play guys coming off of wins unless they're elite players. That's just a rule that's always happened. I don't know how it started, but it's a thing. If they cut the tourney to 54 holes, will they announce it before Saturday? Probably. Probably. I doubt they're going to keep everybody just waiting there and then cut the tournament off. I don't know, though. Would you recommend new guy play some cash game? No, I think cash game's even harder than GPPs, bro. I would say just start with a small amount and playing some small GPPs, like less than 500 people. Does the lack of cut mitigate any course wave advantage? No, I think it actually could enhance it. I think it could actually enhance it a little bit because no one's going to be playing it when there's a no-cut event, JT. Yeah, I know who you are. I know who you are. What's the real chance of getting reduced to 54 holes? I'd say probably 1 in 10, but it is a thing that could happen. Can you please be hush-hush on Henley? Sure, I can do that for you. Everybody play Russell Henley. Already answered about Kevin Yu. We need a grind his balls counter. Well, Eric, there's a lot of guys that'll grind their balls, bro. What do you want me to say? All right, man, you guys were all over JT this week. Was the Justin Thomas just too obvious? Just too obvious? I think I'm going to go play poker tonight. Can we get an amen? Give me a like if I should go play poker. If I should go play poker tonight, give me a like. I'll build my lineups in the morning. Let's go scrape some pots from some old hags at the poker table. If playing single entry only, you play pivots around your core plays. Yeah, I like that. That's how I would do it. Pick a pivot or two you like and go with it. Don't just play pivots to play pivots. Play them because you like them. Damn, not one like for poker. Maybe I won't go. How many players would you put in your player pool for 20 entries? I like to be between 14 and 16, brother. Can you post a video for those? Can you post a how-to video on those moves? Yeah, you just get in front of it and you just start moving your big ass. That's basically all it is. Benet, calm down, big guy. Need to see you next week. Bring me an XL shirt. All right, it's gonna be $25 though. I'm kidding. It's 30. All right, let's see. God, this chat just never ends. Guys with your freaking questions. Should DJ go play poker? There it is. We got one yes vote. I saw it. Uh-oh. Yes is running away with it. Do none of you care about the old hags at the poker table? All right, any love for Keegan with bad weather incoming? Yeah, I don't like Keegan at bad weather. I think he's kind of a delicate flower too. Hey, Brock, don't forget, you won the drawing. Make sure to reach out to me, okay? Who owns Live Clean in Place? Who owns? I don't know who's good at it, but I know that it gives you ideal lies. It's going to be somebody who's in the fairway because you only get to Live Clean in Place if you're in the fairway. Betsport's model better than Fantasy National? So far, I've really enjoyed it. That will be my diplomatic answer. So Central Time is also the Lord's Time. That is correct, Josh. That is correct. We're in the Lord's Time Zone. Keegan or Kirk for the last guy in? Follow your heart. Are you more inclined to splash up top or down low with a cut, with a no-cut event? I'm more inclined to splash. I'm more inclined to get different up top. You think we have any golfers who bitch quit? Yes, his name's Hideki. Somebody will withdraw. You heard it here first. 94%. How do I see the numbers on this drawing? Let's see, 54 votes. We've got 93% yes. Who are these people that don't want me to play poker? Low character. Hey, big guy, any love for Rose? I don't think so, but I also don't think anybody's going to play him, which makes him pretty interesting. You should always go play poker. This guy gets it. All right, a lot of poker votes coming in. Thoughts on day? Well, seeing it's night, I don't love it. I don't love it. It's pitch dark out here, brother. Don't love it. All right, guys, I think that is it. I can't believe so many of you came by tonight. We still got 405 people in here. That's the area code, motherfathers. Thank you again for making this the most popular stream in all of PGA DFS. I will be back, in theory, on Friday for round 3 Showdown Hoedown, depending on how that round goes. I appreciate all of you being here, hitting the like, hitting subscribe, telling all your friends about it, and always making time to be here. Please, guys, remember, rule 3,080. Expensive tout sites are shady. Stay the hell away from them. Let's have a victory lap for being the number one stream once again. Let's put those hands up.